Hi everyone, welcome to Baby Steps Nutrition, a podcast that focuses on nutrition, health, and wellness for families of children of all ages and stages. I'm your host, Argavon Neil Forouche, a pediatric dietitian and mom of two young children. My goal is to bring you impactful information that you can apply every day in a simplified, practical form to make life easier. Now let's get into today's conversation. It's a new year, which means new goals, intentions, or resolutions, however you may refer to it. For most people, changes to their food and exercise habits are usually at the top of their list. So it's fitting that today's topic is about the update for the dietary guidelines for Americans. Before we talk about specifics, I really want to talk about what's happening to our health on a national level. Given that we're almost 2 years into a global pandemic, it has been highly discussed that immunity matters, and vitamins such as vitamin D hugely matter, and anyone living with a compromised immune system is at increased risk of disease such as COVID-19. We have two concurrent epidemics in our country. One is infectious, as we all know, COVID-19, and the other is non-infectious, but has been climbing at alarming rates for decades. Those are nutrition-related chronic diseases, namely obesity, type 2 diabetes, not to mention prediabetes, which is prolonged high blood sugar levels that are headed towards type 2 diabetes if no intervention is made, cardiovascular disease, cancer, and autoimmune disorders. How do we improve our metabolic health and therefore our immune system, not just to combat infectious disease, but also ward off chronic disease that affects our quality of life and shortens our lifespan? Here are some statistics to put things into perspective. Almost 75% of adults and 40% of children and teens are overweight or obese. 60% of adults have one or more chronic diseases related to diet. The age group with the highest number of obesity are the 40 to 59 years age group, followed closely by adults 60 years and older. Heart disease remains the leading cause of death for Americans. So I outlined that there is a problem, but what are we doing to solve the problem? How is it that in a country that is so wealthy, our health is so poor? There are healthcare professionals such as myself working with individuals and groups to provide education and counseling. Then there are the local, state, and national health promotion and disease prevention initiatives whose goal is to reach all Americans. One important public health tool that policymakers, healthcare providers, nutrition educators, and federal nutrition program operators use is a 150-page document titled The Dietary Guidelines for Americans, which offers recommendations for a healthy dietary pattern to maintain good health and reduce the risk of chronic disease. Since 1980, this document is updated every 5 years to reflect current scientific research and data analysis on nutrition and health behaviors of Americans. You could argue that if such a health tool has been around for the past 40 years, why have diet-related illnesses skyrocketed to pervasive levels, and why are we in a public health crisis? Where and why are we falling short? I love talking about history, and I think it's especially important to mention how the DGA document is created. I mentioned the goal. For the next 5 years, the published guidelines shape nutrition policies, programs, and education at the federal, state, and local levels. The DGA is a joint partnership between the U.S. Department of Agriculture, the USDA, and the Department of Health and Human Services, HHS. Together, they nominate 20 members to form a committee, physicians, researchers, professors, dietitians, and other healthcare professionals from all around the country. They sift through hundreds of thousands of scientific articles on nutrition research, narrow down to the most relevant 1,500 or so peer-reviewed publications, then draft a scientific report that the USDA and the HHS use to develop the final guidelines. What's different about the newest edition, which was released in December 2020, is the promotion and awareness of specific nutrients or foods across all stages of the lifespan: infancy and toddlerhood, childhood and adolescence, adulthood, pregnancy and lactation, and older adulthood. The tagline, "Make every bite count." It's never too early or too late to start making healthy changes. If you want to check out the Dietary Guidelines for Americans in detail, you can check it out on the website dietaryguidelines.gov. I'll discuss the four principal guidelines here and offer my perspective. Number one, follow a healthy dietary pattern at every life stage. Number two, customize and enjoy nutrient-dense food and beverage choices to reflect personal preferences, cultural traditions, and budgetary considerations. Nutrient-dense refers to foods and beverages that provide vitamins, minerals, and other health-promoting components and have little added sugars, saturated fat, and sodium. Number three, focus on meeting food group needs with nutrient-dense foods and beverages and stay within the calorie limits. Nutrient-dense foods consist of vegetables, whole fruits, dairy, including low-fat and lactose-free versions and soy-based milk, protein like lean meats, poultry and eggs, seafood, beans, peas, lentils and nuts, and oils, including vegetable oils and oils in food, such as those in seafood and nuts. And number four, limit foods and beverages higher in added sugars, saturated fat, and sodium, as well as limit alcoholic beverages. And there are specific guidelines related to the amount of added sugars and saturated fat for each age group that you can refer to. For all of the age groups, the main focus is on calorie balance and nutrient density. For each life stage, the DGA provides calorie levels, specific macro or micronutrients of concern, i.e., what do we need more of or less of, beverage specifics, and opportunities for supplementation. I like, for example, the infant nutrition guidelines that include the introduction of high allergen foods rather than avoiding them to lower the risk of food allergy at a later time. This, of course, you should always check with your pediatrician. Other positive additions are an expanded section dedicated to healthy dietary patterns and food safety during pregnancy and lactation, as well as recommendations for breastfeeding. What I like and appreciate about this particular update is that it's realistic, practical, and really focuses on bringing back food as medicine, the joy and pleasure of eating, and mealtimes should be communal and therefore a quintessential human experience. The highlight are whole nutrient-dense foods with vegetables and fruit taking lead roles in meals. For children, it is encouraged to include them in family meal planning, shop healthy, which also teaches children from a young age about making better choices when presented with so many options, prioritizing home-cooked meals, and enjoying meals at the table together. The guidelines also promote more plant-based alternatives to animal products for calcium and protein needs, as well as water over other commonly consumed beverages such as milk, juice, and soda. By including infant and toddler nutrition, early nutrition sets the tone for later life. Small steps really do count. It's all about those baby steps. Okay, what I don't love and I prefer that it was edited are for dairy products. The fat-free and low-fat ones are pushed due to the high obesity rates. However, full-fat and higher-fat are better options rather than fat-free, as those are loaded with unhealthy options like more sugar and more carbohydrates. Children need fats for brain development, and therefore, unless medically indicated, food in its natural form is always best. For recommended healthy fats that reduce inflammation rather than vegetable oils, I would have rather seen a list of high-quality foods that offer health benefits, such as flaxseed, nuts, nut butters, olives and olive oil, and fatty fish like fresh tuna, herring, mackerel, and salmon, to name a few. We shouldn't ignore the fact that the stress and interruptions of the pandemic for many families have resulted in food insecurity and hunger, increasing the challenges to make healthful dietary choices. Even if people had the intention of following the guidelines, they may not be able to due to financial challenges and/or accessibility. There are government and non-government resources, such as food banks or community meal sites, as well as special supplemental nutrition program for women, infants, and children, called WIC, and Child and Adult Care Food Program, that play a role in providing food and educational resources to support adults in making healthy food choices within a limited budget. I just want to mention here that someone really cool I came across, she's a mom on TikTok. Her name is Marissa Sunny Rudd, who went viral with her recipes for low-income families who rely on government assistance. She makes healthy, delicious, WIC-friendly meals and offers tips for making your food budget go farther and cooking tips to make one food substitute for another. With WIC, you can only purchase selected items that are approved by the National WIC Association. So while it's difficult to make healthy meals on a limited budget, it is not impossible, as Sunny has proven. One notable criticism of the Dietary Guidelines publication is the lack of attention to sustainable agriculture, climate change, and methods of food production and delivery. We simply cannot ignore the fact that there is an inalienable connection between humans and Mother Earth. In addition, many experts and advocates have spoken out against the conflict of interest and funding from Big Food that exists among the advisory panel members. The main industries are corn, soy, sugar, dairy, factory farm meat, and wheat. After all, how can the same group of people who promote public health policy be tied to the same companies that lie to and manipulate the public on their so-called healthy foods that make a profit? That is definitely wrong. To summarize, the dietary guidelines for Americans are for the population at large. Please speak to your trusted and knowledgeable healthcare provider about finding a dietary intake that works best for you. And that may be a specialized diet, such as a low FODMAP, a ketogenic, or gluten-free diet. Focus on nutrient-dense whole foods. Limit processed foods and other highly sugary, caffeinated, alcoholic beverages. And pay attention to portions and special attention to key vitamins and minerals at a particular life stage. Understand that there still exists a large pressure from agribusiness, food and pharmaceutical companies in anything related to public health, purely for the interest of its corporate members. When you see a healthy study or ad, see who's funding their research. And lastly, the biggest takeaway message, make every bite count, even from early on. You can always consult with a dietitian like myself for interpretation of the guidelines for you and your family. I hope you found this episode helpful. Please check out the show notes for any links that I mentioned. Thank you once again for tuning in. Until next time. Thank you for listening to the Baby Steps Nutrition Podcast with your host, Argavan Nilforush. We hope you enjoyed our deep dive into all the tips and tricks you and your family can use to make daily life a little easier. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to support the podcast, please leave a rating and review, share with others, and follow us on social media, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Baby Steps Nutrition Podcast. As always, you can head over to babystepsnutrition.com to sign up for our email list, as well as check out all the links and resources in the show notes. See you next time. Tune in. Feel great.